Shall we pray? Our eternal Father, we once again want to thank you for making a way for us to come to your house. Thank you for your faithfulness, your cares, your provision, your protection. Thank you for the blessings that we daily receive from your word, the ministration of your spirit. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for seeing us through this past week again, adding the testimonies of what you have done to our lives. We are grateful. It further gives us confidence, Lord, to trust you more, to believe you more. Thank you for your promises that we all believe, that we are trusting you to bring to pass in our lives, in the lives of our brothers, our sisters, and our children. We have come today, Lord, to come and appreciate you, to come and worship you, as we look unto you to help us, to give us the faith that we need, Lord, to understand your ways, your plans of redemption, Lord, to have discernment of ourselves so that we can, Lord, surrender ourselves to you. Your promises are true. Lord, you are unchanging. Lord God, may give us grace to have the understanding of God, Lord, that he has about his word. Master, may you be gracious to every one of us. Lord, there are sick people, people in need of the Holy Ghost baptism, people in need of one thing or the other. We are all here, and no one can help another. Lord, we look up to you, because from you our helps come. Lord, we pray you will be our help. Lord, the blessings you have in store today through the preaching of your word, testimonies, and songs, and special number and worship songs. Father, Lord God Almighty, may we be full partakers of the same, so that the end of the entire services, our joys will be full. Lord, and all the glory and honor will be yours, Lord. Thank you. Let nobody go back home, Lord God, of the same way they came, nor worse than they will be living. Let it be that we will be better than we came here. Oh God, by fulfilling your promises in our lives, help us, eternal Father, the grace we need to surrender. Lord, when your word is coming to us, may you give unto us, Lord. Thank you, eternal Father. Let the sick receive strength. Lord, let the weak be made whole. Let the Holy Ghost baptism be poured upon your sons and daughters. Thank you, eternal Father. Take the saints to your grand master. At the end of the whole thing, your name alone will be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. Let's open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 3. As we continue with our Sunday school lesson, the future home of the heavenly bride, groom, and the earthly bride. Read from verse 1 to the end. So when I get to verse 10, you can see that. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of all the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this day willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were opened, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the heart which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Sit down, please. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also account, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are on land and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Revelation chapter 21. There's no Revelation 23. From verse 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for this thing, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and shall be my son. But the fearful, don't just spam that, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and warmongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God bless you. We'll be making reference to that verse later. That is why I choose to read. God bless you. We continue with the Sunday school lesson, the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. The future home. Praise be to God. Last Sunday evening. I think that was when I preached in the afternoon. Yeah. And he's looking at you, it's more than that to me. Yeah. We were trying to look at, well, let me just give a little review. The prophet made us to know that the same plan, the same plan of redemption that God has for his people. It is the same plan that he has for the heart, where he and his redeemed people will finally settle down to spend eternity. And this process we started with last Sunday afternoon. We started looking at the first stage of it, which is justification. But before justification, the prophet told us that it is very, very important that an individual who wants to be partaker of redemptive blessings should first repent genuinely. It is the genuine repentance that affords the blessing of justification. Because the blessing of justification is that your sins up to that moment are remitted. The sin of a repentant sinner. Repentant sinner. That's a person who has come to understand in the light of God's word what God says, and has come to recognize that he is a breaker, she is a breaker of God's word. You may not have broken all the word of God. It might have been one, it might have been two. Just like a man I met yesterday was saying that where he never stole his when he was an apprentice, he never told his boss anything. That rather he even suffered because he was always defending the man that they broke bottle on his head to tell him that you are too protective of your boss. Let us also steal. That he's surprised that now that he has his own business, his apprentices are stealing from him. And on the basis of that, we'll be cursing them. Because we were talking along the line of what you use your mouth to say. You use your mouth to curse. The Bible forbids cursing. It says, curse not, but bless. So we talk about a whole lot of things. So, and the man feels that he's a justified person. But when we went further and we tried to say certain things, he was only looking up. You know, we didn't have enough time to dig deeper into what we should have said, because I went to buy something from him. And so, and other customers were coming around. So justification comes when somebody has recognized that he is a sinner, she's a sinner. The Bible says that he that offends in one, offends in all. Abraham Bostans will tell us that he never stole, he never committed adultery, he never drank, he never smoked. He never did, most things that people do that make them, that you look at them as sinners, the prophet was clean of those things. The prophet will make us know that still, he was a sinner. That it is not what you do that makes you a sinner. It is because you are born a sinner. And the reason you are a sinner is because you are represented by Adam. You are represented by Adam according to Romans chapter 5. The first Adam represents us to sin. And that's why everybody, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory. How? But the good part of it is that the sins that Adam committed brought you here as a sinner. But the blood of Jesus has atoned for that. And that is why the prophet told us it's possible for, that is why a baby that is under, a child that is under 12 years old, if such a child passes away, in other words, dies, he returns to God. Regardless of who the parents are. It could be an armed robber that gave birth to that child. And the mother could be a prostitute. The father could be an armed robber. And they gave birth to that child. It could even be a raped woman. That's not to support unrighteousness. Don't misunderstand the scripture. That's the teaching of our message. Any child that dies before accountability goes back to God. The background of that child notwithstanding. Who gives back to that child? It could be a prostitute that gave back to the child.
and the father could be an armed robber. The child, the woman could have been raped. We are following the mind of God that has been made known to us today. So the child goes back to God. Why? It is because the blood of Jesus atoned for the sin that that child inherited. But the child has no sin on his own because he hasn't come to accountability. So you become a sinner, of course, by nature, but you will not be judged for what Adam did, except you refuse to accept the proposition that is made for you to come out of that. And so that is why in Romans chapter 5, the Bible says that Adam represented us unto sin, but Jesus came to represent us unto righteousness. So God has balanced it. He has balanced it. And that is why you and I are placed upon the platform of free moral agency, which is placed Adam and Eve. Let it be understood that don't have a wrong understanding of God's nature. God can never do evil. God can never support unrighteousness. But you might find some things in the scripture that look as if God supports unrighteousness. You might find some things that look like that. It's because your understanding is not aligning with the scripture. You are leaning on your understanding. If you have the right understanding that God, there is no variableness with him, neither any shadow of turning, there is no darkness in God. And the Bible says God is light and there is no darkness in him. Darkness is the work of evil. It can't be found in God because that is absolute total righteousness, total holiness, total purity. And for God to be justified, that is why he has to place man upon the free moral agency. Of course, we know that he has a great plan and everything blends together. He has to place man upon free moral agency for his own predestinated program to work out.
Are we here together? Let me read a little bit. Because we are on the aspect of repentance. Why should you repent? What have I done to repent of? What is my sin? Now from the sermon, condemnation by representation, I want to read from paragraph 126, paragraph 157, and then I'll move to, I read a number of them here. So you see, I breathe in. That is what it has done. Just the church. We were all condemned through him, through I breathing. That is exactly right. All of us come to that spot through him. If caused the old woman race to fall, her and Adam are one. She it started with the woman, it will end with the woman. So we are all condemned by human beings under representation. Adam represents us before God as sinners, unbelievers in his world. We are carried on that basis, unbelievers of his world. We are born like that. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, we came to the world speaking lies. By Adamic nature. That we inherited. Being born in that. Every human being apart from Jesus Christ was born like that. And that's why we need redemption. And that's why we need to repent. There is no man, no matter how righteous you are raised, no matter how godly environment you are raised in, no matter how religious you have come to be, until you are born again filled with the Holy Spirit, you still have Adamic nature. And in that case, you are a sinner. Because it is that nature that is a sinner. Until that nature is changed, you are not yet a saint. And that's the process of salvation that the prophet is trying to take us through. To cause us to see that God will not come to this earth until this earth has gone through the three processes. First, in the antediluvian, the prophet said, in the days of Noah, the heart repented and was baptized by flood that God poured upon it. That was the baptism of the earth. And then Jesus came, shedding his blood upon it to sanctify it. And the prophet said, the next stage is that Holy Ghost and fire will come to burn all the evils on this earth before the first quad city, which is the future home of the heavenly bridegroom and the bride, will come down to stay upon this earth. Until that time, the first quad city remains there.
And the prophet said, the same process that God takes also before he takes you and me. You have to first repent, because we are emphasizing genuine repentance. And then, to show that your repentance is genuine, you go for water baptism. Obey the instruction. Then the scripture applies, then you are justified. Your sins of the past to that moment, the sin you have committed from the age of accountability, from the time God opened record against you, you have been writing every good thing you did, everything that is contrary to his word that you have done, whether you believe it or not, whether the interpretation that you give to it is right or not. Now, I was telling some people, I said, God is the one that defines sin. Sin. God is the one that gave definition of sin. He's not human being. Everything that is contrary to God's word is sin. The Bible says every unrighteousness is sin. And the Bible determines what is righteousness. And the Bible even goes to tell us that everything that is done without faith is sin. And that's without revelation. So if you do things without revelation, then you'll be led by the flesh. Then it's simple. So God is trying to call our attention to that. So God is the one that defines sin. Now today, we, by the grace of God, maybe next week, we dwell more on that. On the definition of sin, as we continue now. The world today has different definitions of things. They don't call prostitute anymore. They call it sex workers. So that it doesn't look sinful. When somebody is lusting after when a girl is lusting after a boy, they will say, I have crush on him. When a boy is lusting after a girl, he will say, I have crush on him. And they say it boldly, with as if it is not sinful. That's the definition they are giving to lust, is to have a crush on somebody. And they don't see as anything wrong. Because that division, they are giving so many other things that the word has defined away from the division of the scripture in regards to sin. God is the one that is going to judge sin, and is the one that knows what sin is, and has given us the definition of sin. So whatever you think about it does not matter. It's what God thinks about. That is why you have to have an understanding of what God says about his word, and then look at your life. Do you believe it the way God says it is? If you don't, you are an unbeliever. Then you've got to repent. It's not your opinion. It's not your idea. It's not your understanding. It's not your traditional belief. It's not the way you are raised. As long as it is contrary to the dictate of the scripture, as revealed by Malachi 4 message, you are standing on a sinking sand. Genuine repentance. Praise be to God. If cause the whole human race, okay?
I think I'll move on to paragraph 157 the other time.
So we are all condemned by human beings under representation.
Sorry, I didn't remember to call it when I was reading.
So we are all condemned by human beings under representation. Adam represents us before God as sinners, unbeliever in his word. We are carried on that basis, unbelievers of his word.
Paragraph 28.
Now, to you that says it is wrong for you to be represented by Adam as a sinner, what about true representation? We have salvation.
Are you here? That should make us say something. That makes us respond.
Now, to you that says it is wrong for you to be represented, because you see, human thoughts, human beings, we try to criticize God. You know, human beings try to query God. Tell them, why should God do that? Why should you be like this? You are able to say that because God makes you a free moral agent. So you should thank God that God made you a free moral agent to be able to ask questions.
You're not a robot. If God made you a robot, what are you going to do?
But that free moral agency, if you don't use it right, it throws you to the lake of fire.
God doesn't tamper with it.
Now, let's look at the way free moral agency works. As you are leaving your home this morning, you determine the clothes you are going to wear. This clothes that I wore this morning, it was this morning I determined, this is what I'm going to wear. This black was what I wanted to wear last Sunday, but I couldn't get this tie. Well, I'm only trying to tell you how we use our freedom to take decisions. Are you getting me? You take decision. God does not tell you go and wear this, except we are God sovereignly take that decision and say, wear this clothes. Then he has a reason for it. But until he comes in, then he steps in and says, do this, then you are on your own. You take decisions on your own. And that is why the prophet preached series of sermon, time of decision. And he says that whatever decision you took last year, I mean, whatever you are today, you are a product of the decision you took last year. Whatever you are today, you are a product of decision you took in the past. So whatever you will be in the next 1 year, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, will be a decision, will be the result of decision you take today. So you will serve under your decision. You will receive the reward of your decision. So whatever decision you take today, whether it is positive or negative, wait for the result. Because you are going to have the result. And the only thing that can reverse the negative result is genuine repentance. Genuine repentance, and then follow the scripture. The Bible says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes shall do what? Obtain mercy. Praise be to God. So, the world has come to define sin in a way to make it more sinful. And that's why the Roman Catholic Church is coming to present to the world a revised Bible that will take away what we know, what the Bible calls sin, as no sin. But before that Bible will be in operation, we'll have left this place. May God walk upon all of us. Now for you that says it is wrong for you to be represented by Adam as a sinner, what about true representation? We have salvation. You see, also, you can no more save yourself than you could take your bootstraps and jump over the moon with it. You can no more. You are born in sin. You are a renegade to start with. Every one of us, we will not help ourselves. And how are we ever going to be saved? If I cannot help myself, you cannot help yourself, how are you going to be saved? You see? How are we going to be saved? I lost my track. One come to represent us. And that's Christ. Jesus. He came to represent us before God as sons and daughters of God. He came to represent us. Adam represented us as sin, and Jesus came to represent us as righteousness. So God giving us, you have this option. This was there. Why should Adam represent me? Now here is Jesus Christ coming to represent you as sons and daughters. Now remember, being born as a sinner with Adamic nature is not of your choice. Are you getting it? That was why the blood of Jesus came to make atonement for that which Adam did. That the prophet said here, let me read it very quickly. Paragraph 88 of future. The prophet said, you can't repent for Adam did. What Adam did, you never did it. Adam did. You just get forgiveness of what you did. It is what you did. And that is why a book is open at age of accountability and everything you do is recorded there. And it's on that. A book is open in heaven. We are all Jesus and the rest of it. That's the book that will be used at the end of the day to judge whatever you have done. So the atonement of Jesus are taking care of Adam, the sin that Adam caused. Are you getting me now? As we said, that's why it's possible for a child that is born under accountability, that dies under the 12 age of 12, goes back to God because of the blood of Jesus that has been shed. Praise be to God. Jesus 209,
back to condemnation. By representation.
Jesus, he came to represent us before God as sons and daughters of God. And he sent his Holy Spirit now that he is brooding over the place, trying to bring us back to birth. 209. Trying to bring us to birth. You see? Die to ourselves and be reborn again.
to be sons and daughters of God, to take God at his word, to believe God's word.
Praise be to God. Now, we move forward from here. If we have recognized that you cannot lean on your understanding, you cannot interpret sin on your own, it is what God says sin is, that is sin. Committing fornication, committing adultery, according to Matthew chapter 5, you know what Jesus said about it. He magnified it. To be a fornicator, to be an adulterer in the Old Testament, to be a fornicator in the Old Testament, you have to actually do it. Are you with me? A man actually have to take a woman and go in with her and commit sexual act with that woman to make it plain. That is not his wife. That is not legally married to that person. But today, Jesus Christ magnified that, the definition of that sin. Are you following me? And that is the definition of sin for the age of grace. I mean, definition of fornication and adultery for the age of grace. We are in the age of grace, isn't it? So how did Jesus define it? Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Wow. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that's God himself that wrote that law. It's not just a prophet, because every prophet will say, thus saith the Lord. But I say to you, that's the word. You see? But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, maybe has the mind to say, oh, this girl, I want to have her, I go and live with her, or somebody has the mind, has the thought. Lust after her has committed adultery with her already in where? So there are many adulterers in heart that are walking the streets that you don't see. And it's only God that sees, and he puts it in the record. And the prophet did not stop there. And the prophet told us that the prophet now make it very, very, he now places on the woman. And he told us that you woman, that you will dress in a way, you wear your clothes tight, fitted, or your bust comes out, or your back projected, your shape comes out. Let me. You know, I remember when I newly started the ministry, I used to draw those things on the board to show you that the styles, fashion that is going on in the world today is from the pit of hell. Is the inspiration that is of the devil. It is contrary to the scripture. Now, normally, it is expected. All right, just permit this. I can draw very well. I know how to draw. So, but, you know. Well, this might have been too long for some. But what we are doing here is to let you see something here. Now, here is another one. This is some of the clothes you wear. See, sisters. It shows your form. See, let me make it more ridiculous. It shows the bust. And the designers get inspiration for a purpose that the sinner might lust after this to commit Matthew 5, 27 to 28. Now, you, the prophet said, you that you present yourself like this, you are also guilty. Is that because you presented yourself like that? The prophet said you might be a virgin. That woman might never even marry, but for the fact that she has presented herself in a lustful manner. The Bible talks about modest apparel. Modest apparel to sisters. Now you take the dictionary. We are coming back by God's grace on Sunday, and I'm going to ask somebody to tell me the meaning of modest apparel. It's an assignment to sisters.
Oh well.
I like women adorn themselves, not brothers. There's not much problem with a man. There are some things specific about a man. But here, the reason is because you have seen that we read it in the beginning here, in the condemnation and representation, that Satan used the woman in the beginning. He will do what again? We use that at the end. And that's the inspiration that is on her today. And that's why the Bible specified the way she must dress. She must hide her shape. She must hide her shape like this. Whether you are a girl, whether you are a girl of 10, or you are a mama of 80, you must dress like this.
May the Lord be our help.
Remember, we are trying to go through the stages, the three stages. That it will take us, it will take Christ to dwell in us. The same stages that God is taking this heart through before the first Christ can come. It is a prepared place for a prepared people. Shall we bow down our heads? God bless you.
Blessed Lord, we thank you very much this morning again for sparing our lives to be your presence. Thank you for your word that we have heard. It is true that the scripture is written in mysterious ways. It takes you and you alone to reveal it and give understanding to whosoever you will. We believe in that we are your children, you will give us revelation. We pray, Father God, that the things that you have taught us again this morning, may they find their resting place in our hearts. May none of these things start and condemn any of us on the day of judgment. As you have told us how you are preparing the heart, that is how you prepare man too. We are in your hands for preparation. May you continue to prepare us. Make us ready for that earthly home that you are going to prepare for your people to dwell in with you. Thank you, Father. Replenish yourself that you have made use of while we look forward for the rest of the services of the day for more of your blessings. Take all the glory and honor. In Jesus' most holy name, we pray.